It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
Let's kick things off with the Furious Five. I love this thing. I always listen to it at the start of the show, even if I'm not on the show. Always tune in and listen to Furious Five. Hear what the five biggest topics are in the world of sports. We'll start first with the All-Star Game. The reserves were announced. I don't have the list sitting in front of me, but all the likely faces were involved in this year's All-Star Game. Really no shockers, except for, as always, a couple of snubs left out of this year's All-Star Game. My boy Joel Embiid left out for the 76ers. He has been lights out in Philadelphia. Damian Lillard, I saw this stat, guys. I choked a little bit. Damian Lillard, 8 out of his 12 seasons, has been left out of the All-Star Game. That is unheard of. And Rudy Gobert also has played very, very well for the Jazz, left out. So, Thomas, I'll start with you. Who is the biggest snub in this year's All-Star Game?
Damian Lillard. Again, I mean, the second straight year. Last year he was left off, and then he went on a tear. We saw him go on a tear, getting the Portland Trailblazers to the 5 seed in the West, and then winning against the Clippers. I mean, you made this guy angry last year. You're doing it again this year. I mean, do they really want the Portland Trailblazers to go back into the playoffs? I mean, that's what it seems like they want, because Damian Lillard averaging, I believe, 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He's the second player to average 26 points in back-to-back years and not make the All-Star game. I believe Michael Redd back in 05-06 did it, and he didn't make the All-Star team. I mean, this is
going way back. Michael Redd. That's a long time ago. I was in high school. Middle school and high school.
A Milwaukee Buck best.
There you go.
But, I mean, Damian Lillard, it's a guards league. I mean, the NBA right now is driven by guards. And if you're the Western Conference and you only have 4 guards on your All-Star roster, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you need to fix that. You need more ball movement. You need more balance, especially on the All-Star game. We want to see run-and-gun style. You want to see how many points can you put up. I mean, that's what the All-Star game is about now. You need guards for that. And, I mean, you can put CP3 in there. You can put Mr. Highest Paid. He is injured. But you got Mr. Highest Paid, who didn't make it, Mike Conley. For me, it's got to be Damian Lillard shooting his best. He's having his best year. I mean, he's been an All-Star in the past, but he's having his best year now. How do you not put him in, especially because there's only 4 guards on the Western Conference roster?
Let me read the All-Star lineups for you in case you missed. You're under a rock for the past week or so. Kyrie, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jimmy Butler are all in the Eastern Conference. And then the reserves, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, well-deserved for him. You can make the argument he should be a starter over DeRozan. Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker, Paul George, Kev Love, and Millsap. So in my opinion, the East did a pretty darn good job on their side. The West, it's, again, the likely suspects, Curry, Harden, Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis, who I watched play last night, played very, very well. Then in the reserves, Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Gordon Hayward, DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, Marcus Allen, Draymond Green. So, Kyle, who do you feel like was left off this All-Star team?
Honestly, there were only a few things that I disagreed with this All-Star team. I more agreed with it than disagreed. I thought that everybody that's on there is definitely deserving. The one that I wish would have been left off and given an opportunity to anybody else is Jimmy Butler. Although he's been productive, he also has had issues, and we'll talk about those in a little bit with all the issues that have happened with the Bulls this week. But ultimately, John Wall has played phenomenally this season, so I agree with that in the Eastern Conference. Kemba Walker has really stood out over those last 2 years. We saw him in the Eastern Conference playoffs last year play extremely well. The one that I guess I would be most I wish Embiid had been on there, but at the same time, he is young. I mean, we remember he's only been in the league for 3 years, and we look at people like Damian Lillard, who has been in the season, you know, been in the league for multiple seasons, and he's been snubbed multiple times, and he's come back better and better and better, and it's only a matter of time before I think it's just undeniable that he has to be there, and some of the old guys may be bumped out, you know, from their leagues, you know, and their situation that they've just been in. Like Dwayne Wade, like he's been 12 seasons, I think, always been an All-Star, played, but this year, you know, not so.
I'm a guy that trusts the process. I don't know about you guys. I trust the process. And I've watched what the Sixers have done, and they are a completely different team than they have been the past 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
I've listened, watched games. It's been painful for me the past couple of years. Joel Embiid has made this team. He's given them an identity. And I don't know what they're going to look like when Ben Simmons comes back. I think they're going to have to go through another adjustment period, or they could be better. I personally feel like it's going to take them some time.
I think they're going to need to trade.
Well, yeah, obviously. They're going to have to trade Okafor or Noel. It's more than likely going to be Okafor at this point in the season. But if you take a look at Paul Millsap's stats on Atlanta, and I think Paul Millsap is a good player, but he's doing the same darn thing that Embiid's doing, but he's having more time to do it. Embiid's numbers for the time that he's doing it in are
in what, 25 minutes per game?
Are historic. And to start the year, he didn't average. It's almost, I believe he's averaging around 20 minutes a night, because he started off the season averaging about 18. Now he's up to around 25. And if you watched him play last night, he went up against Nene. And listen, Nene's not an all-star. We all know that. But he's a wily veteran, and he gets it. And Joel Embiid put on a show last night against the Rockets. He played very, very well. They almost came back and won that game. His point guard is TJ McConnell, okay?
Oh, the Sixers are a guard away from being a playoff team at this point almost.
TJ
especially
McConnell
in the East.
Is scrappy, and he's a good kid, but he is not a starting point guard in the NBA. Joel Embiid is winning with TJ McConnell. Nerlens Noel is just getting back into the swing of things. He started the season injured. He did not play for 25 games, I think, somewhere around that ballpark, and then came back and got hurt again and sat for another week. I mean, Embiid has been phenomenal for the Sixers team. I honestly feel like, look, Paul Millsap, you're a good player, but Joel Embiid has to have that last spot in the East. And in the West, I mean, DeAndre Jordan is the biggest joke of an all-star.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Gosh.
And congratulations.
I agree with you here.
Congratulations for sneaking your way onto the all-star team, but you have to give that spot to Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert has been amazing for the Jazz this season. And if you want to make the argument that Hayward should be off and Lillard should be on, I'm fine with that too. But you got to have at least Gobert, in my opinion, has been so much better than Hayward.
I agree. I mean, putting DeAndre Jordan out there, who's pretty much just a product of the system and of Chris Paul. I mean, now that Chris Paul's out, you're really not going to see much production from DeAndre Jordan at all, only besides the fact because Blake Griffin's back out there, so now they have to pay attention to him. But I don't think he's deserving. I don't think Gordon Hayward's deserving. He doesn't pop out. You think All-Star, do you think DeAndre Jordan and Gordon Hayward?
I saw something last night. If you put DeAndre Jordan on the Bucks, he just goes away.
He's Larry Sanders.
Yes, he is. And with that, we're going to move on to our second topic. I would love to sit here and talk about the All-Star snubs, but we got to keep it rolling. Dez Bryant is not playing this Sunday or this coming Sunday. Instead, he is playing in the Pro Bowl dodgeball game. And while he was playing in the Pro Bowl dodgeball game, he decided to say that the Cowboys are the only NFC team who could have possibly beaten the Falcons. Guys, I don't know about you, but this is one of the dumbest things I've heard out of Dez Bryant's mouth, and it hasn't been that long since I've heard something dumb come out of Dez Bryant's mouth, Kyle.
Well, and in this situation, it is really dumb because he needed to, like, remember what happened in the regular season. First regular game of the season, the Bucks won 31-24 against a really good Atlanta team that, yeah, they seemed to start off almost on a limp jumping into the, you know, system of Kyle Shanahan. But once they got going, then the next team that they lost to, Seahawks, that's another NFC team. They got hit pretty hard in the mouth by them. And then again, they lost to the Eagles 24-15. And that was later in the season when they were in full swing of Kyle Shanahan's system. And Matt Ryan was still playing MVP style, still having a great game. They had Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, excuse me. I don't know why I blanked on that. But they had them all. They had all those situations going for them, and teams have beat them from the NFC. So it's not like the Dallas Cowboys are the only team that could beat them. Really, what came down to it was the fact that Green Bay was a poster child of somebody who was limping, beaten up, and wrapped up because there was nobody healthy on that team.
Thomas, I'll get to you in a second. You brought up the name Kyle Shanahan. He's being considered right now for the 49ers head coaching job, and I think that's a huge mistake.
I hope he says no.
And look, I think it's a mistake for the Niners. I think the Niners need to look at what he did with the Browns as an offensive coordinator and see and look at that team that they have and think, gosh, we have as much talent as he had to work with the Browns. Look how bad he was. And their defensive side of the ball is not as is basically the same.
Oh, I mean, they're starting from scratch.
Yeah, you look at what he did with the Redskins with Kirk Cousins and RG3. I mean, that was a mess, and maybe you could blame the head coach for that.
Well, and that's where I would say that I don't think it's Kyle Shanahan's fault that a lot of those teams were a mess, because you look at the skills and you look at the amount of players that really cared, and then you look at what he has at Atlanta of people who have NFL IQ. I mean, you have Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman and people who really get it.
Right, but there's no one with IQ that is on that Niners team
right now. And that's why I hope he says no, because he's in a lose-lose situation, because there's no way that he's going to be able to catch up with people.
Thomas, Dez Bryant, Cowboys, Falcons.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I was actually waiting for Dez Bryant to say something because he's been quiet for too long. I mean, we've heard a couple chirps from him, and I mean, I know they lost a few weeks ago, so he's been a little bit in remission, but
bitter.
It's about time Dez Bryant said something stupid. I mean, does he forget about the other team in his division, the New York Giants? Because they very well could have beat the Falcons if they got there. Did he forget about the Seahawks? Because if they were healthy, they definitely could have beat the Falcons, because they beat them earlier in the year. Did he forget about the Tampa Bay Bucks, who beat them earlier in the year? There are a lot of teams. Honestly, even if Green Bay was playing at home, they could have beat the Falcons. There are a number of teams that could have beat the Falcons this year. And the Cowboys are not at the top of the list.
There's a lot of guys that are angry and bitter at this Pro Bowl this year. Let me just tell you. There are a lot of salty NFL players.
A lot of salty players.
Salty NFL players.
Especially because it's in Orlando and not Hawaii.
Well, look, I mean, Orlando, I'm not knocking it. I mean, they're right near Disney World. I mean, come on. It's Disney World.
It's nice weather, but it ain't no Hawaii. It's not Hawaii.
Yeah, it's not Hawaii. That was one of the things that I always really enjoyed, is kind of seeing everything around it, the quarterback challenge. And I get they brought back like challenges this
season. Oh, yeah, dodgeball's like, real challenging.
It's like
they were catching footballs from a drone.
I know, and that's
from
not,
a drone.
And that's not the same. I still remember watching Troy Aikman, Mark Brunell, Steve Young, and all those guys literally hitting 45-yard targets. And then they would start moving. I remember playing a Game Boy game called QB Challenge, and that was one of the things that I looked forward to every year.
The biggest problem with the Pro Bowl is the NFL can put their stamp on anything still at this point, and you'll watch it. That's the problem with the NFL right now. They could say, hey, on the NFL Network, watch Odell Beckham Jr. get his hair cut.
And they'll get a million views.
Watch it. Oh. It's ridiculous, and it's absurd what they get away with. Nobody's calling them out on it. The Pro Bowl, you play dodgeball at a Pro Bowl. At a Pro Bowl. Listen, the NHL and the NBA have their All-Star Weeks coming up in a couple weeks. That will put the NFL to shame.
Well, I mean, and think about what the NBA does. Not to get completely off topic, but moving forward as well, finishing up with this. Think about what the NBA has done for years and years and years and years and years. The dunk contest, they haven't changed things up. They've made things interesting, and yeah, for a while it kind of faded off. But one of the things that I think about it, that there needs to be is continuity of what is good. And that was something that I think the MLB has done really well over the last few years, with changing up and tweaking the home run contest to where it is extremely interesting and entertaining now. And it's something that as we change, so does the NFL. They need to change it up or get back to some of the original things that really made sense.
Oh, those are the sounds. The sounds of college basketball. And my, oh my, do we have controversy brewing. One of the supposedly top teams in the nation has been falling.
They be tripping.
Flat. Flat on his face, as Kyle says, they be tripping. Tripping indeed. The only thing that's been tripping is Grayson Allen, just tripping people left and right. Losing three of their last four, 2-3 since Coach K went out with back surgery. So this is a problem that was brewing long before Coach K went out. Coach K had to sit down the Duke players this year, or I believe it was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And say, look, you guys aren't worthy enough to carry the Duke name right now. So much so, not only can you not change in the locker room, but you don't even get to wear Duke clothing. Now, normally in the past, I think this is a technique that would have worked. But with today's modern athletes, Thomas, I don't necessarily know if this is the right idea.
Well, with Coach K, I mean, he's definitely got that old school vibe. I mean, he played under Bobby Knight at West Point. He knows that fire. He's done this in the past. I mean, this is not something that is just totally new for Coach K. It's worked in the past for him, and he's trying it again. The one thing here is he's on a leave of absence. So that's the one thing that kind of just doesn't add up. Does he do this if he's still coaching, if he's on the sidelines, or is he just doing this because he's sitting at home kind of bored, seeing his team fall apart, and he needs to make something happen? But I got to give Coach K the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, this guy is truly the best coach in college basketball, in college sports probably. He's the highest paid for a reason. I mean, there is no Duke basketball without Coach K. I mean, that's a statement right there.
But think about this, too. From 1983 to now, Coach K's missed one NCAA tournament. One.
And I don't think they're going to miss it this year. I think they're going to get pulled back together.
They're going to find a way. But look at his record. 1,058 wins to 326 losses. This guy, you say trust the process in, you know, Philadelphia for the 76ers. Trust the process of what he's done. Now, this may be a new era of athletes that may not agree with this and may not like this tactic. But he's done stuff like this before. It's not new to him, and I trust what he does works because it's very clear in his records that things work.
It is very clear, and I think you have to look at a similar situation with what's going on right now in Michigan State, and you look at the way that Izzo is handling this. I think that that's the right approach to it. Defend your players, not bash them, because again,
publicly,
exactly. Because in Coach K, I'm sure that he probably thought to himself, "Oh, this won't get out to the media." Well, you know what? Everything gets out to the media.
I think he actually had an idea that it probably could go out to the media, which is why he did it at his house. That made it really personal, really in the group, in the circle, so that even if it did get out to the media, because it's out, somebody leaked it, of course, because we're talking about it. But I think he did that on purpose, because what that does is, for anybody who knows anything about Coach K, that says, look it, this guy's, you know, going through this situation, taking a leave of absence, and he's still doing what's best for the team. He's bringing people into his home to have these conversations, to pull the team together and say, get it together now. And like you said, I think they are going to turn around. I think the team is going to find a way to get back into the NCAA tournament.
If you look at this roster, I mean, it's such a stacked roster. Coming into the year, you thought there's no way this team isn't outside the top 10 at the worst for the rest of this, you know, for the whole season, basically. I mean, Luke Kennard, Jason Tatum, Grayson Allen, you can throw in the likes of Emile Jefferson. Harry Giles has been a major disappointment in 9 games. And these guys are all supposed to be one and done. I mean, Grayson came back this year, but I can't see. I mean, Kennard will probably leave. Tatum will probably go. But if I'm Harry Giles, I mean, you're supposed to be the number one overall pick.
And he's disappointed big time. I mean, you can't come out when you're on a low like that. But looking at Duke, I mean, they're still 15-5. They still have a chance to be decent, to be back in the rankings once Coach K comes back.
I thought they
back.
Were 15-4.
15-5 now.
15-5. I mean, and now they've got a couple of key games that you really need to get some momentum here. You got Wake Forest. You got Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, and then you have to go play UNC. And you got a couple of games to kind of warm up and try to get up to that game. But if you come limping into UNC and then limping into Clemson and UVA, that's a tough schedule coming up. You got to get this right. And Coach K knows the timing of this was perfect. It may have not been the best way to do it, and we can argue about that, but only time will tell. I mean, if you're going to do this and you're Coach K, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, but I also want to make sure that this is noted, too. It's not like they played snub teams over these last 4 games and got blown out by, like, UCF or something. They played Florida State and Louisville. I mean, Louisville's always there.
Yeah,
so.
and they're well-coached as well, but, well, for now, Rick Pitino, we'll see what happens with him. But
that's another story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now we can move on.
And we're going to move to the NBA, and my oh my, if you think Duke's a mess, take a look at the Chicago Bulls. They're an MJ away from something. I don't know what the heck is going on with them. It started a couple nights ago. after a loss. Rondo, Wade, and Butler essentially went after each other on social media.
No, I mean, it all started just in regular comments.
Yeah.
Rondo was the only one that he used social media, and well, I think he actually used it smart.
I say social media because the comments went viral, basically. Yeah. Dwayne Wade kind of called him out. Butler kind of followed suit, and then Rondo posted a picture on Instagram. Ironically,
My vets.
Ironically enough, of a team that reportedly never really liked Rajon Rondo. He posted a picture of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And I was Ray Allen in that picture?
Okay. No.
I didn't think so. But anyway, you have two guys posted in a picture with Rondo that reportedly really didn't get along with Rondo, or Rondo didn't get along with them. One way or the other, interesting comments from Rajon Rondo, basically saying, as Thomas pointed out, these guys are real veterans, not like the veterans that I'm playing with right now. First of all, calling Jimmy Butler a veteran is kind of ironic to me. I don't think he's much of a veteran. Dwayne Wade is definitely a veteran. But guys, what do you make of this? If you're the Bulls, they sat Butler, they sat Dwayne Wade last night. They didn't start them for the game. But what the heck is going on in Chicago?
Okay, it's becoming a huge issue.
Oh, by the way, Jimmy Butler, 1 for 13 last night from the field.
3 points.
Yeah.
3 points. And he pulled himself out at some point, and he said that's enough, basically. And that's why I don't think he should be an all-star at all, because any all-star player never pulls himself out of a game. They work through those situations, and we've seen players with those attitudes and have to play through it. But the thing with the Bulls that's so frustrating is the fact that Wade has been catered so many ways by Pat Riley, and he's been situated into such success and such areas that help him out that now he's finally having to really work and lead, and it's kind of showing how much his leadership style is not taking any root in the Chicago area. Like, Jimmy Butler, diva. I mean, all of his comments, he has worked to a point where I don't know what he says and I don't trust what he says, because he says we need to work harder, we need to practice harder, but you don't see him putting in that work that other teams put in. And then you have Dwayne Wade, who says they just don't care about it as much. I have my 3 rings and I'm, you know, 35 years old. I don't, you know, need, it shouldn't hurt me as bad. Yes, it should. And if that's not working, your leadership is not working. You are not doing your job. The one thing I appreciated Rondo doing, and I know he took it down, I believe, after, but everybody had seen it, was the comments that he made. I didn't find any of them really that crazy. I felt like he was not necessarily, yeah, he probably wanted to be involved in the Ray Allen, you know, Paul Pierce, big three, but he wasn't. But I think he took their leadership and was trying to hold Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade to the fact that, yeah, they approached him when he was, because he was a mess, and I think he knows it, and they approached him, and they made him play and care even through the situations.
See, I don't think Rajon Rondo has any spot saying whatever he said. Rajon Rondo can't tell anybody anything, because this guy is one of the worst teammates in NBA right now. I mean, this guy has been bouncing around team after team after he left Boston. Nobody wants this guy. Nobody wants Rajon Rondo because he is a cancer to the team. But also, it doesn't start with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade. This starts with Fred Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg needs to get control of this locker room.
And if he not, needs to, he needs to go.
Or he needs to go, exactly. This team either needs to blow up everything and get rid of Butler, Wade, Rondo, Gibson, Robin Lopez, and Hoiberg, or they need to keep Hoiberg and tell him, you get a hold of the situation and you need to start making some moves, or we're going to see a whole different team next year, if not in a few months.
Let me just say this, then we got to move on to our final topic of the Furious Five. If anyone, and I know one person that thought that this roster can just what it was made up of would work. If anyone other, I'm not going to say the name, this roster, you should have never thought that this roster was going
to
work.
There's absolutely no chemistry.
You have three guards on this team.
No chemistry.
All need the ball in their hands.
And none of them can shoot.
And you have the worst Lopez brother. You don't even have Brook Lopez. You have Robin Lopez, who's trash, okay? He's trash. He's garbage can, okay? Then you have Taj Gibson, who, look, is a nice role player, but shouldn't be on this team. You've got Doug McDermott, a shooter, but not a guy, again, that's a starter in this team. So you've got three guys that need the ball. You've got the worst Lopez brother, and you've got a bunch of nice complementary pieces. This team is never going to work from the beginning, and no one should have thought it would in general. All right, the final topic. We've got about 60 seconds, guys, to throw it into this one. Tom Brady has come out and said, I'm motivated by my teammates, not by Roger Goodell and what he did to me in the offseason. Kyle, 20 seconds. Tell me why or why not you believe Tom Brady.
I 100% believe it because you see his work ethic, and I've harped on it before. This man only allows pink Himalayan salt. That's the only salt he intakes. He does not drink. He goes to bed at like 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night, and wakes up at 4:30 and works out in the morning. His work ethic's impressively insane, and that is the motivation that's needed.
Oh, no doubt he's got good work ethic, but I don't believe a word he said right here. I don't believe he's not motivated by Roger Goodell at all. He's motivated. I mean, this is psycho Tom. This is psycho Tom. This is crazy Tom Brady. You see him on the field, this guy is the craziest one out there. He's motivated by Roger Goodell.
I think he's full of, as my English teacher put it, CRAP, and that's a French word in case you were wondering. Yeah, no, there's no way that he's not motivated by Roger Goodell. He's played phenomenally to start the season, and or when he came back from the suspension, and has just continued to carry it on. The dude threw two picks, I believe it might have been three.
No,
I think it was two.
Two
interceptions in the playoff game last week, and they still won. That's how good this New England team is, and there's no way that they are not motivated by this Roger Goodell suspension.